So verse 16, go call your husband and come back. Now you can, if you really read it, look at it, you can see there's a change. You see he's got her attention. He said, go call your husband. And you can see, if you read through it, you can see where at first it was you, Jew. And now it's like, you can see it kind of a taken aback a little bit. Sir, I have no husband. She says, verse 17, Jesus said to her, you're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you've had five husbands and the man you now have is not your husband. What you've just said is quite true. So he confirms this. Never met her before, never knew anything about her, never run into her before. He's not from Shikar. He could not know anything about this woman. And she says, sir, I can perceive that you're a prophet. So she begins to see that there's something different going on here. So she asks him a religious question. Now Jesus kind of sidesteps that and goes around and says, hey, we're going to worship them in truth. Now verse 25, now this is where you get to, and you can see this woman. I mean, she's just had her eyes open when Jesus had this word of knowledge, just a simple word of knowledge is all it is, listed over there in 1 Corinthians, over there with tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, healing, gifts of special faith, and working of miracles. Listed there in that list, just a word of knowledge is all it was. The Holy Ghost said, yes, she's had five husbands, she shacked up with a guy now. Now, that was not to condemn her, but was to get her attention. See, the gifts are for a sign for unbelievers, okay? So he says this. Now, she says, I know that Messiah is coming, and when he comes, he'll tell us all things. So she evidently had gone to some Sunday school when she was a little girl. She evidently had gone somewhere where somebody told her about the Messiah. Because as a Samaritan, she was part of a Jew, so she could have heard a little bit about the Messiah. She could have heard a few things, and so she's thinking, who is this guy? I mean, she just came out to get some water for the day. You know what I'm saying? I mean, she just, no telling what's going on. And she's like, who is this guy? She's like, I know that Messiah will tell us all things. Now look, now think about this. When Jesus was with the religious folks, he would tell them stuff. They'd come out and ask him a question. He'd ask them a question. They would walk away going, I don't even know. What did we come out for today? I mean, he would confound them. He would say things that just like would confuse them so much. Or he would tell them, you know, they'd say, tell us by what authority you're doing this. And he said, all right, I'll tell you by what authority. You tell me by what authority, John. And they were like, I don't know if we do this, that's going to happen. And they're like, we don't know. I ain't going to tell you neither. I mean, Jesus, when he talked to religious people, was very confusing. Okay. But with this woman, he says, verse 26, Jesus declared, we'll read 25. She said, the woman said, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he'll explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. Simple. Very simple. This is Jesus. He's the one that has the living water. Amen? He's the one that has this life available, is standing right in front of her. Amen? I'm going to teach you a French word right now. Y'all ready? Everybody ready? You want to know how to say hallelujah in French? Hallelujah. The same thing. You don't know how to say amen in French? You just change it and it's just amen. It's the same thing. Okay. There you go. So if you want to shout hallelujah in French, you can just shout hallelujah. Is that easy? You want to shout amen? You go amen. You just change it one little A, from an A to an A. Right, there you go. So he reveals himself and says, I'm him. I'm him. Now watch what happens when he does this. Verse 27, it says, just as his disciples returned and they were surprised to find him talking with a woman, but no one asked, what do you want or why are you talking with her? Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back into the town and told and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I did. Could this be the Messiah? They came out of the town and made their way to him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true, but I sent you to reap that for which you have not worked. Others have done the hard work and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. Verse 39, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. You've got a testimony. Remember that. We'll come back to that. You have a testimony. It says, he told me everything that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. Then they said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we've heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. So from this, from John chapter 4, verse 1, all the way to here, we see a great example of Jesus, the Master, as soul winning, of telling people about Jesus, of telling people about the new birth, telling people about what's available to them. But all of this, none of this would have happened if Jesus hadn't first listened to the Holy Ghost. In a time when he was weak, he was weary, he was hungry. Now, you got to realize this is the very beginning of his ministry. And I can imagine, you know, Jesus' 12 disciples weren't always the easiest to get along with. And so sometimes when I look at this story and I think, why did all 12 of them go into town to find him something to eat? You know, it could have been, I mean, you ever have kids? You have children? You know, sometimes you just want them to go somewhere else. Just go do something. You just want to hear quiet. You know what I'm saying? Maybe your kids aren't like my kids. I don't know. If you had my kids, maybe you might think that. You're just like, go pick up rocks. I mean, go count the trees. I mean, go do something. Just let me have a little peace and quiet. I think that's kind of what Jesus was dealing with. Early on in his ministry, they were always fighting and squabbling and stuff. And Jesus is like, why don't the 12 of y'all go find a Subway and get me a sandwich? I mean, now, later on, Jesus multiplies one basket enough to feed 5,000 and 4,000. So he could have got his own food. You know what I'm saying? He could have pulled like a peppermint out and multiplied that, you know? He just wanted some peace and quiet. He said, you guys go find me something to eat. So all 12 of them go into town and he's just sitting there. But think about that. He's tired. He's probably frustrated with this, going, God, you didn't say it's going to be this hard. These guys won't listen. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you didn't tell me it's going to be like this, Father. You know what I mean? But this woman comes up and the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. How many of you guys use a GPS on your phone? You guys use that? We know that GPS will help you. And it actually, if you use, like we use Google Maps, so it's hooked up to the internet, so it knows if there's a wreck ahead. Or it knows if this road's been shut down. Or it knows some of these things that maybe you don't know at the time. So if we listen to that, we've learned as we travel that it'll help save us time. Does that make sense? But you know, the GPS, you know, you can also receive direction. If you're driving as the husband, you can also receive direction from your wife, you know? And the GPS will just tell you, and that's it. You know what I'm saying? The GPS is just turn left 20 feet. If you pass the turn, the GPS will go, you know, rerouting. Okay, now turn left, you know, a mile down the road, you know? If you miss that one, then the GPS, okay, well, all right, take a right when you get up another half mile. You know, the GPS, your wife is like, I told you to turn left. I was like, why didn't you listen to me? GPS is a little more calm, a little more, okay, you got to listen. And you can turn the GPS's voice off. You can mute that thing. Don't try that on your wife, guys. Don't try it. You don't got no button that you can push. And it's the same thing for your husbands. You know, I do the same thing too. She's like, I'll be doing something and come, oh, turn left. You know, and she's done missed it.